You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Playoff. The Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Orlando Magic. That sounded bad at the end. I've lost it at the end. Then Marv Albert comes in and goes, "Hello, everybody, live from Prospect." And then he always welcomes in 19,000 strong. Oh, man, it's great.
I'm telling you, there was nothing better. Like, I was texting my buddy, Jerry Ferrara. You might have seen him on television.
Really? He won't come on the show. I'm glad you were texting him. He won't come on the show.
He came on the show once.
He might be. He might be coming back soon.
He won't come on the show with me, and he won't answer my tweet when I told him to go over and watch the game with you.
And somebody else said something else.
Yeah, that was a little bit odd.
That was a little mean. So I texted him, and I said this was so cool because the Knicks and Philly played at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and I'm like, that took me right back to my youth. Just big games, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Celtics, whatever, but 1 o'clock on a Sunday – there was nothing better, especially with Marv, especially if Bob Costas was doing like the pregame show, and they would have these full opens, these full-bodied opens
that made you think
that a game in, it could be February,
was the
biggest game you've ever been a part of. That history is going to help write this script tonight that is going to stick with you.
The lasers over the peacock.
Yeah.
That was, can we play it again? I won't run over it, I promise. Just do it again.
It is
Let's
awesome.
Describe it. Let's just describe it. Do it again. Game 5 tonight,
thank you,
baby.
John Tesh.
Let's go. The lasers.
How do you not stand up on your arms if you're our age?
Yep.
I get it if you're like 20,
if you're 20 matter. Listening right now, getting ready to go to class or something, you have no idea.
And you were, forging new memories. It was going to be Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing.
Oh my God.
They would build these guys up larger than life. And when you're young, it really felt like all these guys were larger than life, not just MJ.
And they get on
Clyde Drexler.
Channel 3, they'd be like, we won't have Dateline tonight because of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And then they'd hit this thing and, oh, my God. The lasers. The lasers over the peacock tones.
Listen to the, like, John Williams, Indiana Jones there.
Big voice guy pops in tonight. I'm not going to do the rest.
And then
it's Jim Fagan.
And then the best
Jim
guy
Fagan.
Also. Oh, you found the name?
Good. Yeah. Is he still with us?
Jim Fagan is dead.
Ah, Jesus.
They've got enough of his voice. They could do AI. They've got enough now.
Don't let them think about that.
I know, that's true. They got enough of our voice.
Can I get the impression now where I can be Jim Fagan then for them?
A stand-in.
If NBC gets it.
Now I'm the Fagan.
Jim Fagan. Yes. A Jim Fagan imposter.
So
they would also show the cities. It would start with the wide shot of your downtown, and then narrow in on everybody walking to the game at the same time, going nuts. And you would feel like it's the biggest game of the century.
There is one I remember on YouTube. I'm going to have to go find it. It's with Michael Bulls Knicks. And they go like, and they play the open, or they play the lead up. And it's about Michael being back. And
it's a very somber song.
And Marv Albert's like, where they've won 27 in a row. Yep. Can the Knicks make it 28? Remember, Michael's back. And then they. Tonight, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Playoff. The Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Orlando Magic. And then when they did the Bulls and the Knicks, I remember it. It was like they had Madison Square Garden back when you had like big TVs up there. Not Madison Square Garden, Times Square, when you had the big TVs on each other. And they showed the graphic of the NBA playoffs and they had like Bulls versus Knicks. And then like it went out and it was just a camera shot in Times Square.
Yeah.
And then you heard Marv Albert going, good evening, everybody, live from. And it was, and he welcomed, I think it was him and Fratello doing the game together. And the czar of the telestrate. Oh,
And they would blow up like a couple storylines.
Guys, you have no idea about TV presentation.
From the week, they would blow up some storylines. Like in this case, you know, Donovan Mitchell saying this week, this is what he's here for. Or Darius Garland recognizing that they told him, oh yeah, you can actually shoot more. They blow that up with a professionalism that you would not find anywhere else. You had the best guys on the call. And then you'd see it play out and it would be awesome. Now,
it's just Kendrick Perkins looking at his phone, taking pot shots at people. All right, here's your game.
Yeah, they would.
Welcome to Cleveland.
Mike Wilbon would say, you know, I've been golfing with Donovan Mitchell before, and I talked with some of the NBA pioneers last week.
I was with Irvin Johnson last week because he can't call him Magic. He has to prove to everybody he knows him personally.
They're on a first-name basis. And you don't get anything out of it, and then, you know, Mike Greenberg is listing basically what he would be doing.
I'm an expert on everything.
So it's a bummer. They don't build up the games like they used to. And of course, it's the Magic and the Cavs. It's a series I feel like nobody's watching outside of Cleveland and Orlando.
They should just have us do the pregame on NBA TV. And we just build it up and speak it like we're Marv Albert the whole time.
I think we would be a little more in touch with the actual series.
They got to get this going, man. I know you got mad earlier this week, like we're taking last week, like, well, we can't take the playoffs for granted. We're not taking the playoffs for granted, but it makes me wish we were excited about the initial run, but it makes me wish we were even more excited about the initial run. Because now there's just this expectation, and I'm not telling people to fake it and get going and like, oh, you know, you got to cherish the moment. You got to, but it's, man, it makes me just. Remembers the first time they were back in the playoffs, and it's like, oh my God, this is going to be great. And now here we are, and it's a 2-2 series, and I'm just getting nostalgic over old 90s basketball opens from the NBA on NBC, and it's not even on NBC tonight. It's on NBA TV, which, is that going to be blacked out, or what are we doing
here? Yeah, it's going to be blacked out again.
Okay, so make your adjustments, all right? Plan accordingly.
But I do find it very interesting when the best players, when the superstars, Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. I'm not all of a sudden because he's had these playoff struggles with the Cavs. Mm. I'm not demoting him as some also ran. Like we all know what he's capable of. When these guys put pressure on themselves, they typically respond. They really do. I mean, you even had James Harden with big moments the other night. You've had Joel Embiid had a 50-point game when everybody's mocked his playoff resume. Like, it's time for Donovan Mitchell now. And there really is no excuses just in terms of, like, he knows what he can do and what he can't do. It's not like he's got to test it to see what his range of motion or how his knees are going to be. Like, he knows what he can get away with and what he can't. He's had big moments in the series, believe it or not. He did have an 18-point half. I think he has to come out not just firing. He has to come out playmaking. So whether that means taking some shots, whether that means setting guys up like Darius Garland, Max Strus, finding a way to get those guys open, because the role players have not had the ability to do that because the stars have not come through. Now it's time to see that. You're at home. You've got this crowd that I do believe once we get to tip off, we'll be in a frenzy. And it's up to you not to let them down. And we had Jason Lloyd, you know, tell us yesterday that this is about Donovan Mitchell, that he was playing champion's pose yesterday because he said people are starting to turn on Donovan Mitchell. Here's Jason Lloyd with us yesterday.
I have to backtrack for a second because I told you guys at the end of regular season, if they flame out in the first round again, this is on Donovan, and you guys said I was crazy. And look where we're at.
I didn't say you were crazy. I didn't say you were crazy.
You said they blamed JB.
No,
they let him off the hook. I got the evidence.
Whoa. I said the organization would blame JB. I didn't say you were crazy. I said I agreed with you that the fans would start calling in about Donovan Mitchell. Why would I lie?
But ultimately, it has to go on Donovan because this is his team and he's the star. This isn't the knee. His offensive rating and the bubble when he went crazy in 2020, he had an offensive rating of 122. The following year in Dallas, he had an offensive rating of 124. His last year in Utah, 107. Last year, 106. This year, 100. His last three postseasons, his offensive rating is 107, 106, and 100. That is horrendous. And that's on him.
Do you have that old audio? I guess I'm going to be proven wrong. Here we go.
Even with the bad knees and everything else, if they lose in the first round, no one's going to blame Darius, even though he's had a terrible year. Nobody's going to blame Evan Mobley. They'll blame JB, but they're going to blame Donovan. Like, this is on him.
Clevelanders will? Cleveland fans will?
I think everybody will.
Oh, I disagree. I don't think Cleveland fans. I think Cleveland fans believe that Donovan Mitchell's laying it all out there on the floor the best he can every night. I'm not blaming Donovan Mitchell. I think a lot of people agree.
I agree with that, yes. I agree that he's laying it out there. And I've said this 100 times. He has done everything right. He has said all the right things at every turn since they traded for him, since they brought him here. But if they lose in the first round and he plays like he did last year, you don't think he's going to take the blame for that?
I think he'll take the blame for that from people like Shaq and so on. I don't know if locally, I think a lot more people are more interested in Darius Garland and Evan Mobley than Donovan.
He got destroyed last year for his performance in that Knicks series. He got destroyed locally and nationally.
Okay. So
that was from April 2nd.
So I was wrong. Yeah. I didn't remember. That was from earlier this month?
Yeah, that was April 2nd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said it didn't happen yesterday.
I didn't.
Guess what? He missed it.
It was wrong. I was wrong. He was right. I was wrong. That's the way that goes. That's okay. It happens. I misremembered. I didn't lie. I misremembered. I didn't think
it's
that
not a lie if you believe
I didn't think the fans would blame him. And then all of a sudden I'm getting fans kind of blaming. Not kind of. They're starting to blame Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, look.
They're definitely starting to jump off that boat.
The number one superstar is always going to get most of the blame for not being able to, quote, get it done. I mean, I'm looking back at 2010 when the Cavs and a supporting cast that was a washed-up Shaquille O'Neal and Mo Williams, Anton Jameson. I mean, that supporting cast was not great. But what happened with LeBron? He shot 26% from three. 73% from the free throw line. He's only 45% for the series. All his numbers were way down, and he still got the blame. And that was the last time we saw him in a Cleveland uniform for a while.
So this
is what happens. The stakes do grow. I was kind of, I'll tell you, like a month ago, I would have never seen Donovan Mitchell being the scapegoat. And then here we are. You know, he's had a rough series. He absolutely has. I think he needs to come out and just be, you know, the thing was, he came out in game four and was excellent. He had 18 points in the first half, and we didn't think there were any problems with the team. We thought they were just going to simply win in five games. And then whatever the hell that second half was, the all-time second half from hell when you scored 29 points in two quarters, it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up.
I think that some people, I needed to foresee and I didn't, and that's my fault. I think that some people have grown tired of the outside influence talking about him being gone. And when he has bad games and they lose, I think immediately people start to protect their feelings that he may leave. I think that's fair. I don't think that it would be Donovan Mitchell's fault, though. I think Donovan's doing everything he possibly can. I don't believe it's his fault. I want to blame Kobe Altman. If things don't go their way, I'm putting this on Kobe. I mean, would we have said at the time that Donovan Mitchell's the number one guy that can lead us to an NBA Finals? I'm not sure. I really am not sure. Now, as many things as I might have forgotten with Jason, and he better save the flavor. It sure as hell ain't going to happen again. I can still say that I think that a lot of folks would say that, no, he's a number two on a championship team. On a contending team or a competitive team, he's a number one. They are competitive. We've danced with being a competitive team or a team that can actually contending and a team that can win a title, can win an Eastern Conference Finals. We've danced with that before. But on a real championship caliber team, I think everybody says he's a number two. Well, who put him in the position to be number one? Who put that weight on him? He didn't think he was coming to Cleveland. Well, that's Kobe. You know, who left this coach in charge for another extra year? That might have been ownership. That might have been Kobe. Who put the roster around him? Who traded the three first-round picks for him? Like, I don't believe that Donovan Mitchell is just going to walk around out there on the floor. I believe he's going to play his ass off, and you do too. But that's why I can't put it on Donovan. I think he's going to do everything he can. I really need to start to look at the cast around him. 216-474-0092. Would you blame Donovan Mitchell if things went south tonight? Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan. .940, Mitch, please, and I think I could have used Mitch last night. Could have used Mitch's help.
Yay. Love that.
That's coming up. Would you blame Donovan Mitchell if the Cavs lose? Could you see yourself blaming Donovan Mitchell if the Cavs lose? The only way I could see it is if, like, he looked visibly disinterested.
Which I haven't seen him look.
Nope.
I mean, even in the second half.
Nope.
I didn't think he wasn't playing hard. There's no moment in time. Like, normally when you catch guys doing that, like, there was a moment after game three, Lakers and Nuggets, where D'Angelo Russell was on the bench looking at something.
I was eating.
Yeah, like gum. He was picking gum, but it looked like he was going through a baseball card deck. Didn't make sense. But either way, he was.
While the team was huddled up?
Yeah, he was away from all his team, and they're like, uh-oh, like, there's an issue there. I haven't seen that. Has there been a moment in time captured by, again, this is the least watched series
from Mitchell,
probably of all the series.
Or from anyone?
From anybody. But I certainly haven't seen that from Mitchell.
I don't know if we've seen anything to that extent. Garland at times looks defeated.
Yeah, he looks like he's got no confidence.
But that could also be the back stuff, too.
Is there anybody, you think, like, has given up at times? Last year in that Knicks series, I'm sure there were plenty of people.
There was a lot of times last year.
No, and, you know, the Mo Wagner thing with him and Evan Mobley at one point, there was a sequence of about four trips down the court for both of them where they were going at it, and Wagner got the best of them, but it wasn't like Evan Mobley quit trying. Like, no, I didn't see that at any point.
But that's the whole point of it, is I can't see myself just sitting there blaming Donovan Mitchell for it and being mad at Donovan. Even if he were to, if he were to not sign something, and then they were to say, okay, well, we have to trade him because we're not going to sit here and just let this happen. If it's not going to happen now, it's not going to happen ever. I can't get mad at him. They put him in this situation. Now, let's just be honest here. I want him to win the series, and then let's get some things figured out. But if we have to go there, all right, he didn't choose here. We chose him, and then we needed to put the right type of players around him to be the number one. But none of us are number one that wins a championship, are we? Anybody in this room?
No.
Any callers?
No.
Any callers think we're unfair for saying that?
Thought he was looking very Dwayne Wade-ish. Yeah. And Dwayne Wade was a guy that was able to win a championship his own, but just few and far between. You're getting that today's NBA.
Yeah.
Especially what it looks like. You got to
have Shaq that one time.
But that's why I'm saying it. Like, if they would have got Donovan Mitchell, and he would have came here and just waltzed up and down the floor and got himself out of there. Like, we've seen NBA players do that before, where they're not going to be interested. They're not. Who was it? Was it Derek Williams who basically ended Jerry Sloan's career out in Utah because of that type of behavior?
Yes.
I think that's who it was. So you've seen guys do that. He's not done that, not by a long shot. So if this doesn't even end well, record this. I don't blame him, unless he were to say, like, hey, Cleveland's this, that, and the other, and he doesn't want to say nice things about Cleveland. Then all of a sudden I'm going to have a problem with it because I'm going to go, man, we supported you. But I don't see him talking trash about him out the door, about us out the door. So I don't think I'm going to find it. I think he's trying his ass off. I don't think he's the type of player that can carry a team past a Boston, past a Milwaukee, if Milwaukee was at full strength.
He's not going to have that LeBron James versus Detroit. Yeah. We're getting 26 in a row or whatever.
Yeah, like, LeBron is capable of doing that. I don't think Donovan is. He might be able
Although
to do
he
it against
did it,
his team.
And, you know, there was a game that he scored, 70 or whatever.
In the regular season.
Yeah,
and then Lima
season game, and immediately they got an extra quarter. And maybe he crossed the line too early. But no, I think a
lot
of people.
But he immediately poured cold water on that tone.
I've been down on it since game 82 because of the way they did it. So I think a lot of people that are at least feeling the way I feel have already. I mean, I've already assigned it to JB. It's all on JB. Win or lose, it's on JB.
I don't even think it's all on him. I think it's a shared responsibility.
Well, I get it a little bit with Kobe too, but I mean, JB is the one. He's the figurehead. He's the one you go to on that type of stuff.
Like, you built this team. I look at Kobe and I say, you built this team. You're the one who traded technically one backcourt issue for another backcourt issue. The same issue. You have a better player. Donovan's a better player than Colin, but you basically traded the same issue for the same issue. So how's that Donovan's fault? He was nice about the trade. He's been nice about the city. He's been great in every single way. If it doesn't work out here, it's going to be a massive disappointment. But I'm not going to put the mouth on Donovan Mitchell and say that he's all of a sudden this, that, and the other. I'm not going to do that. And I think it would be wrong. Fans can say what they want, but I think fans are going to be wrong if they were to do that. Now, we've had some people say that he needs to step it up. He does need to step it up. I'm not sure how much more capable he is of stepping it up, but I'm not packing his bags, getting him out of here. Everybody needs to step up. He knows it, but I need the other players to come around him and step up with it. You mentioned Darius Garland. I can name you umpteen different guys that need to do it. Max...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Drews has disappeared. Obviously, George Niang has not had the type of series that people thought he was going to have. This has not been the type of road trip we thought it was going to be.
Sneaky big three games or whatever it is for Darius Garland. Because let's say Donovan Mitchell actually does re-sign with the Cavs. Let's say he commits to them, and it's more than just signing. Maybe he's telling the organization, I'm here. I don't want to be anywhere else. Okay, we can all do pie in the sky, but just for the sake of this discussion, I want to do it. Sneaky big few games for Darius Garland because I could see him being the one they end up trading if Donovan re-signs this offseason. And how Darius does here tonight, and how he does on Friday, and if there's a game seven, it could change how not just the fans think about Darius in this town, but also the organization.
216-474-0092. Would you blame Donovan Mitchell if the Cavs were to lose tonight or perhaps lose this series? Josh and Berea, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Yeah. So, yes, I do think you can blame Donovan, but it's not because I'm with you in the sense. You want to blame the organization. I can blame the organization, but I also can give credit to this organization that people were saying when LeBron left back in 2018 that this organization didn't know what they were doing and that they might be bad till 2028. And now we're still in a competitive series. It's
who's people? Who's people?
Game by
who's
game,
people?
But with,
who's people, though?
You're not the people, Ken. Oh, you know I'm not calling you out. I do subliminals. You know you don't want me to say the names.
Do actuals.
Let's just say they work on Saturdays. Let's just say that.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
They work on Saturdays.
All right. That's, all right. All right. Here we go.
So I'm going to go. I'm not going to blame this organization yet because still we were all happy when we traded for Donovan. Let's not play revisionist history. We're happy about it. So was Donovan. Donovan said he was on the golf course. When he found out he was going to the Cavs, he was pumped. Because this was his time to show that he's the guy. And he's done it for the most part in the regular season, but he has evidence in the postseason that he doesn't step up. I mean, this was before. This is since after the bubble. Lima broke it down yesterday for you. He has been showing you maybe in a playoff series he's not a number one guy. But that doesn't mean, I agree with you, Ken, it doesn't mean kick Donovan out of town because he's not a number one. If you do have commitment from him and he wants to stay, pie in the sky, like Lima said, you can build still a good roster. If he doesn't want to stay, you can still be good with the young guys you have, too. Like, I don't know why we're so doom and gloom. We're a small market team.
Josh.
And this is the only team in Cleveland that's having
their team. Josh, I got to let you go. I got to let you go. Thank you very much for the call. I pick up what you're saying, but we do have some breaking news. Hit it! Breaking news on 92.3 The Fan. It's presented by BetQL. Bet smarter by downloading the BetQL app and used Ohio25, Ohio25, to get 25% off your first month. Champions pose, Tone. According to Adam Schefter, Jeremy Fowler, the whole lot. Browns have picked up Greg Newsom's fifth-year option. Champions pose.
What's the champions pose in this case?
Well, people wanted to trade him.
They could still trade him.
Yeah. I mean, he could still get traded.
Well, they're not going to trade him.
Oh. Because they picked up the
usable
option.
Yeah, he's a usable player. I mean, I guess they could, but champions pose.
Maybe the team they want to trade him to wanted him to.
You know, when he does it, you guys just let him do champions pose and that's it. Like that, like we don't move
job
on.
Of
you guys just sit there and rip on me. That I said they weren't going to trade him. In fact, they were going to pick up his fifth year option. They didn't trade him and they picked up his fifth year option. Yeah, champions pose. Damn it. Champions pose. They need a guy like that. You can sit there
but
and
they
talk
could
about
still trade
that doesn't mean they could trade anybody.
Yeah, needed players
they
still
trade
get,
anybody.
Still get traded.
Yeah, but you they don't get traded if you really need them. What do you get traded for? Unless you're not winning this year.
Other needed players.
Well, so what? Well,
I can't believe what I'm hearing
no,
right now.
No, what I'm interested in is if they don't trade him, if they decide to keep him, then they are giving up draft capital in this case. If they would have traded him, you'd have more draft capital if you traded him really before this draft.
Enough with the draft then you.
Well,
talk,
hold on.
Man.
Wait, I'm going to explain.
All right.
So they're left with the fifth-year option, and then the team control they would have beyond that, if they didn't work out an extension, would be a franchise tag, something like that, which by that time, the corner, that's going to be over $20 million. How do you think this plays out with Greg Newsom? Do you think they are going to get a deal done and an extension done
with probably
Greg Newsom?
Not. Probably not. But you can
well,
you
so
can,
this is where it gets – this is the risk-reward.
Picking up his fifth-year option kicks the can down the road. Now, if he were to play exceedingly well this coming season, let's go back to the table on this, all right? But they pick up his fifth-year option. It gives them a little bit more time because they get that extra year. So he gets to play under his fifth-year option as a first-round draft pick. Then I get to see, when, yes, this is where the Cam Mitchell thing comes into play. How well does Cam Mitchell do? Because no team, people just think that once guys get to the NFL, we just stop developing guys. No team trying to develop a fifth-round pick that played very well last year. Cam Mitchell played above his shoes last year. Played well. Played real well. Liked him. But they're not going to put him in a disadvantage especially in a secondary, and I've said this so many times right now, it's a broken record, that very few guys play the entire 17-game schedule. So Greg can play at a high level in a nickelback situation. Yes, of the wide receivers that they throw at, he gets picked on. MJ has been better, and you've had Denzel, who's obviously been better. If Cam Mitchell can make a difference, they could liquidate that asset. My whole point was they weren't going to do it this year. That was the champion's pose. That's all there was.
Yeah, the Browns are caught in a spot where they have to determine in their not just planning for, you know, this year, next year. Uh-huh. It's going to be very important how they, with this roster and all the significant cap hits, what they are going to do. Like, it's going to be hard for them. Like, if Newsom had a great year, it's also going to be hard for them to afford him
and
what he's going to try to get. He's not going to want to get paid like a slot
corner.
But
they could also get something back in return if he has a great year that's going to be better than a compensatory pick that would they would lose in a couple years.
Yeah, but they could have got for him is if they traded him this year with 2 years of control for the team that would be getting him.
That's not necessarily true.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, because the team that trades for him is still going to – they're not just going to trade him for what they want without the intention of paying him. Because of if you wanted what, like people were talking about, excuse me, hosts on this station were talking about a second round pick. You're not trading a second round pick and then not paying Greg Newsom. That's like trading a second round pick for Jerry Jeudy and then not paying Jerry Jeudy. They intended on paying Elijah Moore. It's just it hadn't been worth it. They might have to eat that. Or they might throw the tag. Well, they're not going to do that. So you're not going to trade for Greg Newsom without the intention of paying the guy. But you're not going to get a second-round pick this year. We all agreed in this room you weren't getting a second-round pick in real life. So your ceiling was going to be a third-round pick, which is also probably in the neighborhood of a compensatory pick that you would get anyway. So why not hold on to the guy? So you hold on to the guy. If you trade him at the end of next year, you get one more year on the fifth-year option, for the first-round pick. And then a team that would trade for him, if he played at a high level, might give you that second round pick, and then they can spend the money on him and you get the pick back and you get the draft capital. Would probably happen at the beginning of the league year next season.
So do you think right now Greg Newsom's going to be on this team after this year?
More than likely, no.
Because normally that's a good candidate for a trade.
Yes, it is.
That's all I'm saying.
If he plays very well, then I'm going to have another 2 years left on Cam Mitchell. If Cam Mitchell plays, this is all obviously predicated on everybody playing well. If he plays well, I'm going to get a lot. If he plays okay, I can still get a third or a fourth. I can use that. Somebody else can pay the freight on that. And hopefully I got 2 more years left on Cam Mitchell. And I will still have a year left on MJ Emerson. And you would probably pick to pay him because he can be a cover guy who's on the edge. You can play man defense. Yes.
So you don't think he's on the roster after this season?
I would imagine.
He's getting traded then, right?
After this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said that. I just said he would be a candidate to be traded after the season. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. After this year. 216-474-0092.
Take back the champions.
But my champions pose was only for this year. That's all it was. I said he didn't need to be traded.
Well, we gotta change the rules in which we do champions poses then.
Well, it's next year. The league year starts in 2025.
I just think we gotta change it.
Well, we don't gotta change it. I didn't say he was never gonna be traded. If I said he's never gonna be traded, then I'm
not
doing
it. Break late.
Okay. 216-474-0092. We actually have people want to get in on Greg Newsom. We'll talk about that. And Mitch, please, coming up next on The Fan. Greg Newsom, he signed his extension, or he's getting a fifth-year extension, I should say. More on that coming up, but hold on. Time for Mitch, please.
Morning, Ken.
Morning. Go ahead.
So today we have, earlier we had on Justin Termini from SiriusXM NBA Radio talking about the Cavs Magic matchup for Game 5 tonight. He had something a little interesting regarding the Cavs mindset going into this series, brought up the end of season game against the Hornets that had a lot of people angry about a week or two ago. This is what Justin had to say on the matter.
To lose to Orlando, I mean, Orlando can't even score. So that is just shows you how far away you are from a championship contention, because this should be a gimme. Like, to me, it's also mind. Like, who is approving losing on purpose to Charlotte?
Anthony Lima approved of losing on purpose to Charlotte.
That's disgusting, because what it tells you, Lima, is you just wanted to win one series instead of multiple series. Because if you look how it's opened up on the other side of the bracket, with Miami gets hurt, where you potentially could have been the 2 seed. Philadelphia hasn't looked fantastic with Embiid. And you would have had an easier second round matchup as well. So it's kind of karma that they're getting struck with, right?
Well, well, what was your answer to that in that interview about disgusting?
Well, I said, I still maintain this is the best team they could have played in the Eastern Conference. Like, they would have lost to Philly, I do believe. Now, maybe it doesn't matter because you think they're going to lose to the Magic. I mean, we'll find out tonight, right? I mean, whoever wins tonight, you're picking to win the series, right?
Yeah. I do want to agree with Justin because he called you disgusting, and yeah, that's great. But I would have to say, if you're going to do it that way, now I do think this has a tendency to backfire because your own players were upset. Max Strus was upset, and well, he can't hit the broadside of a barn anyway, so I bet that's not a great example to give. But either way, your own players
were... Yeah, if we would have kept Strus in, would that have helped or hurt our chances in that game?
Your own players were upset with you. So I do think that has a chance to backfire on you. But you know what? I don't believe in the hocus pocus of the basketball gods or anything like that. So I can see where you're coming from, but I thought it was great that Termini called you disgusting. A lot of people, by the way, they lose this series, they're going to go back to that game 82. Because that's going to stick with that owner. That's going to stick with those people. I'm just not going to blame it on stupid basketball gods or anything like that. I don't think that Wilt Chamberlain's up in heaven giving any sort of a damn about what the Cleveland Cavaliers did in game 82.
I don't think it's the gods either, but I agree with Termini. It is disgusting to throw a game to try to improve your playoff chances.
Yeah.
Or your first-round matchup, if they are the best opponent to play.
And I'll tell you this, there is a difference between being at home and on the road. Like, if they would have done it on the road, it makes it a little bit more palatable.
Yeah, everyone in Charlotte is enjoying their fan appreciation day, and they're all cheering because their team tried to win in the fourth quarter when they said, we're going to appreciate you today.
You did it at home. It's a dicey year. It's certainly been a dicey month and a half. It doesn't sit well with the fans at home there. And that booing, God, I'll never forget that booing and how loud they were. Hopefully they'll be cheering loudly tonight because hopefully the Cavaliers will get a win.
And the crowds that have been there at home, they have been cheering. They have been great. They've been electric crowds.
Greg Newsom got his fifth year option. Haleem in Cleveland, hello.
Good talking to you, gentlemen.
Hi.
So I want to look at this from two perspectives. One, that's very obvious. And two, that I think we could think about a little bit about why he may end up sticking on a roster. Number one, personnel-wise, and I don't mean to be mean here, but first of all, he played well at outside corner as a rookie. Last year when they put him outside as a corner, he played well. And Greg Ward is one really bad concussion away from being done, which is really sad to say.
All right. I mean, that's not mean. I think a lot of
personnel,
people...
Yeah. Yeah. So personnel-wise, it makes a ton of sense to keep him. Mm-hmm. And that's the old adage, he's more important to us than he is to you for the draft compensation that you're going to get for him. Now, here's another thing to think about, okay? I know it's going to sound weird to ask. Does anybody remember how much Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney got as third receivers in this offseason, how much they got paid?
They got a lot, didn't they? I thought they did.
They got tons and tons of money. More than that $15 million, as a matter of fact, or at least one of them did, that Newsom's getting. Here's why I'm mentioning this. Ultimately, the Browns have been really good at seeing things coming, right? Seeing contract situations coming, like paying Njoku early. Hopefully, it works out also with Judy. Even the contract that just got extended with the dude in with the Ravens made the Judy contract look better, way better. That being said, I can anticipate third corners getting a raise. Now, not a $15 million raise, okay? But I can anticipate them getting a raise to the point where it's combating the influx of receivers over the last 4 or 5 years into the league. Even the third receiver on a team is...
Oh, he dropped. Haleem,
it's not great.
Haleem, I swear to God, you like cut out. I didn't do that on purpose. I think I actually agreed with you and where you were going on that. Because if they're not going to pay running backs and they're still going to do everything they can, no matter how many phone calls they get on, sadly, and they're not paying, I mean, look at the positional linebacker and what that's become over the last 10 years. It was the most important thing. I mean, these were the biggest stars in the NFL. Now, classic linebackers, you can barely mention any of them. Like the general fan, I think they just say TJ Watt and Myles Garrett. A general fan would just say that those guys are linebackers. Like a person walking down the street who doesn't pay that close of attention to football knows those names and would say they're linebackers. But you see what's happened to that position. I can totally get where Haleem's coming from on there. So, yeah, I think that Greg Newsom this year is going to make sense for this football team. And again, by the end of next year or by the end of this year and going into next year, you're coming up to that fifth year. If he's played exceedingly well, that might be the time to strike while the iron's hot. Or he could just suck up the room. And then, yeah, this year was the time to strike on him. And I'm not sure, again, how the compensatory picks wash out because he was a first-round pick. We'll see where that goes, but you might end up having to hold on to him for the $15 million that you spend on for the fifth round or for the fifth-year option. So all those things are possibilities. I got to get back to the Cavs real quick. Angel in Cleveland, finish it up.
Hello?
Go. You're up. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I just want to talk about some roster changes in the Cavs on why we haven't gave Imani Bates a chance this season. I mean, I know the kid's a rookie, but with Garland and Mitchell, Garland can't get going because Mitchell has to start the game off with the ball. He's so ball dominant. By the time Garland starts getting reps in, you know, it's kind of in a crucial part of the game where, you know, it's either he's on or he's off, and it's just too late for him. Imani's 6'9". I mean, number one player in high school. He's had multiple games of 30-point games in the G League. Yes, I know it's the G League, but I just think the kid could play.
Angel.
Yeah.
You watch some of those games with Charge?
I've seen highlights.
Yeah. You shot 38%.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's getting reps in.
Yeah, but you're not going to give him reps in the postseason, Angel.
Well, I mean, if we're going to play Tristan Thompson when we're getting blown out and Marcus Morris, why not give the kid a chance? I mean, he could have had all season long where he could have got minutes and they just didn't want to play him. Okay. Well, and I just think that's another guy that could score on the ball like Mitchell can, and he just gives them another score. Garland can't – I mean, Garland can score, don't get me wrong, but – it's harder for a point guard to score in this league than it is a 6'9 small forward.
All right, Angel. Those are certainly on the record.
He's 6'8 in a league. They play no defense. He shot 38%. What do you think that's going to look like in the NBA?
I did not know that was going to be it. In my defense.
We can't end the show like that.
I didn't know that was going to be an Imani Bates call. Let's go. Here we go.
We got a game tonight.
In my defense. Let's get a win. Come on.
Would be nice, right?
Yeah. Stop making everybody mad at you and go out there and get a win. This is what happens when you lose like that to Orlando. You get Imani Bates calls. No.
Donovan Mitchell, out there and win. The floor is yours. You're at home. Cannot disappoint tonight.
No, I'm not going to blame you if it don't go well.
They'll write songs for you, Donovan.
Yeah.
They'll make T-shirts.
It's a hard-working town. It's a hard-working Donovan.
Could this be Donovan Mitchell's last home game as a Cleveland Cavalier?
Stop it right now.
I mean, that's what's...
Stop that
you want
right
to talk
now.
About stakes?
Stop that right
that
now.
That is what is on the line.
Come on, damn
still
it.
Still can't end the show like that.
Yeah,
come on.
Turn
we
it
gotta,
back on. Turn
read.
It back on. Let's go.
Right,
Mitch, as an umpire, would you ever reverse a call?
It is part of the protocol. You can't do that. You got to stick by your call no matter how good or bad.
I almost got thrown out of a baseball game yesterday. That coming up in a small story during the podcast. Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. Justin Termini was great. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Who's on Wednesday tomorrow, Mitch?
We have Joe Varden at 7:20 tomorrow.
Ooh. Hopefully after a big Cavs win. Let's go. Positive vibes. I don't mean to overuse the term vibes, but positive thoughts. Here we go. We're back tomorrow 6 to 10 for Big Country, for Jeff, for Mackenzie, for Mitch, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima. I'm Ken Carman. Have a wonderful day, my friends.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.